What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, this is Johnny Rabbit filling in today for the show, and we will do the same next Monday, the day after New Year's Day. Our movie master, Tom, Mr. Movie Stockman, is right here right now. He's going to tell us all about the movies. Are you going to a movie today, Tom?
Not today.
What? I can't believe it. You missed a day. I thought you went, well, no, you don't
I
go
I used to go a lot more than I do, yeah. But now that they've opened this new cinema, which is my favorite new cinema in town, I want to talk about that.
Which one?
It's called the Alamo Draft House, and it just opened last week, and I'd love to talk some to you about that. We went there last week. It's something else.
Now, that's in the Foundry.
That is in the Foundry, right across from IKEA there.
Now, what a giant place that has become, and more businesses.
There are restaurants and gift shops and movie theater.
And have you been there a couple of times?
We've only been there once. They did give me a year's pass, mm-hmm. So I get to go see movies for free for the next year. So I'll pick up on my movie goal.
I'll bet you.
Because if I don't like it, I'll just leave and I'm not out anything.
Oh, yeah. But now, what's the theme? I know the name, but what does it mean?
Alamo Draft House, it opened here just a week ago. I think it opened on a Friday, so a week and a half ago. It's a chain. It's a chain. Mm-hmm. There are 40 or 50 Alamo Draft Houses across the country, including one in Springfield, Missouri, and Kansas City, Missouri. There's probably, I don't know how many exactly, 40 or 50, like I say. Mm-hmm. But this is the first one in St. Louis.
Sure.
And the Alamo Draft House is very different. They have, for one thing, they have 35-millimeter capabilities, which no other theater in town does. They show old movies. They show art films. They have movie parties. They have these very strict rules that if you start talking or you whip out your phone at the Alamo, they will kick you out. You can't show up 5 minutes after the movie starts or they won't seat you.
Wow.
Yeah. They've got these rules, which is fine for me, but I don't know about some of my perpetually late friends. I'm sure you know people like that.
Of course.
Might be a little off-putting to them. But
how many screens do they
have? Ten. And one of the screens, which is enormous, we were in one of the mid-sized screens, and one of the screens is about the size of the High Point. It's huge. And they're all the comfy reclining seats, too.
Hmm.
Every single screen.
Now, what about prices?
Prices are just, I would say, about the average. Average is other movie theaters. They do have, they're known for their beer selection. Because hence the name Draft House.
Okay.
They have 48 different taps at the Draft House, and a lot of those are from local breweries, microbreweries, which is nice. As far as the price goes for the beers, they're served in 16-ounce glasses, and they vary a little bit, but I paid $6 for a beer, and I think my wife paid $5.50 for a beer, so that's really not too bad.
Your wife is here right now watching us. Yes. She's in the other studio with her rabbit sweater on.
That's right. She did that in your honor.
Things. Isn't that sweet? That's so kind of her.
But we were talking on the phone the other day, and we were kind of saying that with the Alamo opening in the city and another movie theater opening in the city in February, which I do want to mention.
Sure, of course.
They seem to be bucking the trend. You certainly read in Variety and Box Office Mojo and places like that how nobody's going to the movie theaters anymore.
You do read that.
So yes. You would think there'd be less movie theaters. But in the city, like I said the other day, let's go back to 1999.
Okay.
There was one theater in the city limits of St. Louis, and it had one screen. And that was the High Point.
Right.
Only one screen to service everybody in St. Louis. Now, that the year before, 98, is when the Union Station Cinema had closed down. So that was a 10-screener, but it had closed down. So it was just the High Point in 99, but they opened the Chase in 99, and that was six screens. So that bumped us up to six screens. A Hawaiian-based company called the Wallace Chain did attempt to reopen the Union Station around 2002, and it wasn't very successful, lasted a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then the MX Theater opened at
6th
and Washington.
Yeah.
Yes. That opened in 2013, and they have, I'm not sure if they have three or four screens. Their website says four. So that bumps us up to about a dozen screens, and now we've got the Alamo with its 10 screens. So you've gone from one movie theater in St. Louis
with one screen.
Now the High Point does have two screens now.
Oh yeah, the back lot.
Back to about 22 screens for St. Louis since
the Moolah's gone though.
The Moolah, that's true. The Moolah opened around 2000, early 2000s, I believe, and just closed a couple of weeks ago.
That was in the old Moolah Temple, right off of Vandeventer, Lindell, McPherson area.
Yeah, and it had the couches. That's what it was sort of known for. It was sort of a cavernous theater.
Yes, it was.
It was nice, though. It was nice. It was just one.
Now, you mentioned a new one when we were talking in the phones on Gravoy.
Yeah, it's called the Arkadin. Arkadin is a reference to a Orson Welles movie from the mid-50s called Mr. Arkadin,
sure.
About a man with a strange past.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
It's what's called a micro cinema.
Hmm.
And other cities have these micro cinemas. St. Louis does not, unless you count the High Point backlot. That's kind of, that's kind of a micro cinema itself, even though it's an extension of the High Point. The High Point backlot, I believe, seats 45.
This new one,
the Arkadin, which opens in February, also seats somewhere between 40 and 50 people. So it's very small. It's in the Bevo Mill neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's next to a bar called The Heavy Anchor. Now, I will say these Arkadin people, much like the Alamo people, they announced a good 4 years ago that they were going to open this. But then, of course, COVID hit and everything got delayed for a couple of years. Now, what the Arkadin people did, which was smart, they sort of made a name for themselves as a movie theater before they were able to open by showing movies outdoors on the side of the Heavy Anchor Tavern building. And that's become a real popular thing. I think they've done that the past three summers in a row. And I've gone a few times, and it's a blast. So people already know about the Arkadin. I just don't want it, like I said, I want it to get sort of buried in the news with the Alamo and
some
other things going on.
How can they make money with it? Just 45 seats?
I think like the Alamo, they're going to have a big selection of beers from local breweries. I don't know. And it seems like they're sort of defying expectations.
Yes.
Well, not so much Arkadin, but opening movie theaters in general these days. Like, nobody's going to see movies at theaters, unfortunately.
That's true.
Except these big comic book movies are making a lot of money, and this Avatar sequel has made a lot of money. But it's just like prestige R-rated movies for adults that, as you can recall, like everybody went to see just things like The Godfather.
Oh, my God.
Or Woody Allen movies.
Sure,
you know, those were must-sees. Everybody got their car and drove to the theater to see movies like that. And now people are just seeing these tentpole movies, and it's just been a disaster at the box office.
Yeah, it's funny you're talking about movies on the side of a building or an outdoor screen. The old days, they were called air domes.
Mm-hmm.
They were all over.
They were.
Because theaters in those days were not air-conditioned, many of them, especially the smaller neighborhood theaters. Mm-hmm. There was one near, it was called the Armo for Arsenal and Morgan Ford was on Morgan Ford, and that, it was not associated with an indoor theater. It was strictly an air dome, but many of them were associated with other theaters and air conditioning.
And there was one at Del Mar and Taylor that was a big one.
Yeah.
And some of those air domes you mentioned were enormous. I mean, they would seat well over 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the High Point, I believe, seats 410 or something like that, and that's a big theater,
sure,
if you think about it. But some of these theaters were 3 and 4 times the capacity of those theaters.
It's hard to imagine all the theaters that are gone. When, you know, if we were to go back, if this were like 1948, 1949, there'd be approximately, in the metropolitan area, including the Illinois side, 115 movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they were on one screen.
Yeah,
there were no two screens, multiple screens. But, you know, and a lot of the theater buildings have been repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little one on Shaw called the Family Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make it into the talkies. But the building was still there, and now it even says family above the front entrance, and now it's a home. It's been redone, and I understand it's beautifully
redone.
I'd
like to live there.
Yeah, you would. I know you would. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a lot more about movies in St. Louis, maybe even talk about your Vincentennial that you did, and then we'll talk about your friend that's on your T-shirt today.
No,
one of my absolute favorite guys. We'll tell you who that is in a few minutes. We're at your service. We're on the show, and this is Johnny Rabbit on KMOX. Hi, this is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service, and with us today, it's sort of the Miles Standish. Do you remember Miles Standish in the newspaper? That's probably before your time, Tom Stockman. Miles Standish did the movie reviews in the Post-Dispatch.
Oh, did he?
Always look for those reviews, and everyone had a little character done by the artist Amity, who a long time ago was
one of
the cartoonists. And so they, you know, you'd see the little guy, he'd be smiling and sitting in his seat, and you'd know, okay, that's going to be a good movie. That was like his one star, two star, three stars. But no more movie reviews in the paper, no more listings. I miss those so much.
I used to love that. I used to cut out the ads out of newspapers and put them in a scrapbook. And I still have them.
It's hard. I don't understand why. I just don't get it. Why people don't put, like you're talking, there's enough theaters.
Yeah, there are, but nobody gets the paper anymore.
Now there's another story. That's for sure.
Now,
there was a movie that you saw that you really thought was interesting.
Oh, it's
at
a fantastic movie. It's at the Alamo, and it's at a bunch of other theaters. It's called Babylon. It's about silent film filmmaking in the late 20s, and it's really about the transition from silent, to talkies, which is kind of the same plot that Singing in the Rain had, except this one has orgies, and it's like Singing in the Rain with orgies. It's very R-rated.
I can imagine.
But it's a terrific movie. It has Brad Pitt. It did not do well over the weekend. I was just reading Box Office Mojo this morning, and it only made $3.5 million, which was a huge disappointment for the producers of that film. But I highly recommend it. For what it's worth, I think it's really the best film I saw in the theater this year.
Is this a very long movie?
It is long. It's about 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Well,
but so is Avatar. And,
well, those are the yeah,
and Wakanda.
What's a typical length of a movie?
I guess hour 45 minutes would be about average. Yeah. I really recommend that.
So that's at the Alamo now.
It's at the Alamo and other places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all over.
Now, there's a theater you had mentioned to me, North County?
North City, sort of. I do want to talk about this theater because I'm just wondering if people know about it and whether it does a lot of business. But it's called the 24-to-1 Cinema.
24-to-1.
Which is an unusual name for a movie theater. It's just outside of North City in Pagedale, on Page. And it's called the 24-to-1 because it's a collaboration between 24 municipalities in North County that aren't represented by a cinema. And it's owned by the 24-to-1 Land Trust Beyond Housing Community Development Organization.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a theater that services people in that part of St. Louis that otherwise, I don't know where they would have to drive to a movie. There are no movie theaters in North County or North City, as we discussed.
All right.
So I have no idea what kind of business they do. I do know that a couple of years ago, right before the COVID thing hit, I went there because they were showing a movie that wasn't showing anywhere else that I wanted to see. And it's certainly a blighted part of St. Louis, but the theater itself is like an oasis. It's just, it's The parking lot's brightly lit. The theater is very clean and very nice. The staff were super friendly. But again, that's the 24-1 cinema for people who live in North City that may or may not realize there's a theater close by.
I have no idea. But on Page, just in Page Dale, but just not far from the city limits.
Exactly.
And is it a freestanding building?
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world. Points of interest along the trail. And offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. How many screens?
Three or four. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a surprise about some of these. I had never heard of that theater. Now we have this new one opening in Gravois, this small theater, but maybe there'll be more. The Chase Park Plaza Cinema seem to be doing very well. The Galleria Theater seem to do well. Plaza Frontenac?
I'm not sure how well those theaters are doing.
Really?
The largest theater chain in the country is Regal Cinema.
Yes.
And we only had two Regals in the St. Louis area. One was in Fenton and the other was out in O'Fallon. And the Fenton one closed. A couple of the AMC theaters. AMC is the second largest chain in the country. And we've lost a couple of the AMC theaters. I know the one out in West Olive is gone forever. And the one in Chesterfield Mall be gone next year when they finally raise that mall. That's actually a really nice theater.
Esquire's
still going. Yeah, as far as I know, it's still going strong.
That's a good location and good parking and all of that. Ronnie's seems to do well.
Ronnie's is always kind of a zoo. Yeah. that was until the Alamo opened, that was the closest one to my home. So I'd go see Ronnie's a lot, but I'm going to start going to the Alamo now. We were talking also about segregation a little bit.
Yes.
And how movie theaters back in the back in the early days, were segregated, as were many things, of course. And this movie I'm recommending called Babylon actually touches on that subject about how there was a totally separate cinema. They weren't just segregated movies. People weren't watching the same movies in theaters for black people and theaters for white people. Mm-hmm. There was actually a separate cinema within Hollywood that was making movies for the cinemas that were focused on the black audiences, starring black actors and black directors. Now, what this movie Babylon sort of exposes is that these studios were owned by white people. But still, it's a fascinating story. In St. Louis, you know, being one of the biggest cities in the country back in those days, had a number of these. And there is a book called African American Theater Buildings by Eric Liddell Smith. And it talks about 31 different movie theaters in St. Louis City that were for black audiences. Sure. A couple of them that looked really interesting. I don't know much about these. Somebody should write a book just about the ones in St. Louis.
That's true.
Maybe you should do that, Rabbit.
No.
There was the Booker T. Washington Theater on Market, where Josephine Baker, performed her vaudeville act as a young girl. There was several. There was one called Just a Mayor Cinema on Finney in the Ville neighborhood. There was one called The Globe at 7th and Franklin. And they were just all over the place.
They were. Comet was a real big one,
was
too.
It?
And as you said, there were all of those. And they were still there into the 50s.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but many of them were still there until the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, what about not a movie, they don't show movies, the Fox Theater. Have you heard anything about the Fox?
We were just there. We saw The Nutcracker. My wife really liked it.
Good, I should imagine. That's what it was.
I do recall, and I'm sure you do as well, that the Fox Theater was showing movies up until about 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty run down.
Oh, it was.
I remember my
sad.
Dad taking me to see a Godzilla movie there when I was 10 or 11. And, and the, you know, the lights weren't on. That, you know, you have to go downstairs to the men's room. I remember the lights weren't on down there.
Oh,
and it was a little, and the place was just kind of run down.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what's the family that bought the Fox?
Strauss.
The Strauss.
Yeah.
The Strauss bought it and sunk money into it, and they've opened it up into this wonderful place that it is now. But yeah, that was movie theater. There was also the Lowe's on Washington.
715 Washington,
yes.
Lowe's State. And there was a Lowe's RFM at 9th and St. Charles. That building is still there.
Yeah.
A good place for you to open a theater.
I will.
And it would be a beautiful theater and still in great condition, but there's no parking. No parking.
I guess that can be a problem with some of these city theaters. Yeah.
Where is, I wanted to ask you about that Vincentennial.
Oh, that was an event I directed
here. It was a big deal.
11 years ago now.
Oh, my gosh.
Some at the High Point, some at the Wash U, some at the History Museum. We did it all over town.
Of course, it was for Vincent Price.
Right. Vincent Price, who was from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Vincent Price grew up right at Forsyth and Skinker.
Mm-hmm.
So as a young man, he would have walked down to the High Point. We know he walked over to the Art Museum and just stared at artwork.
Yeah.
But he would have walked down High Point and seen movies. There was also one at Big Bend in Clayton called The Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
It's been gone for a long time, but
Making
I'm sure Vincent,
lot, I guess.
Today. I guess Vincent Price would have probably walked down there and see movies.
Probably
it's fun to think. You know, of course, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Vincent Price, and I would beg my dad to take me to see his movies. But it's just fun to think that he was in our city.
Yes. 6320 Forsyth was the address. House is still there.
Yes. It's owned by the university now, and some lucky university staffer gets to live there.
Now, you have a T-shirt on from Bela Lugosi.
Oh, yeah.
Dracula.
That's right. You gave me that Bela Lugosi stand-up that was out in your garage.
Oh,
remember, you gave me that couple years ago, and that is in my office.
Oh, thank goodness. It deserves that.
It does. I get startled when I look at it every day.
I enjoy his work.
Oh, I mean, too.
And you ever talk to his son?
Bela Sr., he was in Edwardsville at the Wildy, which is an old theater
in
Edwardsville.
Yeah.
This is probably 4 or 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they were showing a screening of Dracula, and he was a super friendly guy who stood out in the lobby and signed
Oh, how nice.
Lugosi Jr. He does I know he sells Bela Lugosi wine.
I've heard that. Yeah,
he was an entertainment lawyer.
Yes,
Lugosi Jr. and very successful.
Did a lot of work. Helped the Three Stooges.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting what they justly deserved that the studios were not giving them.
Yeah, yeah. Lugosi was involved in that. Yeah.
Drive-in theaters are, you said three left in the area.
Well, I'd say there's three left within an hour's driving distance of where I live, and I live down in Carondelet. There is the Skyview in Belleville, which is probably the best known, and they had a good year as far as I know. There is a Skyview, but it's two words, Sky and View, and that is in Litchfield, Illinois, which is about an hour. And then there is the Starlight, which is in DeSoto, and that's about an hour the other way. So there's a few drive-ins.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for being here. I know you got to go because you got to get to the Alamo because you can't go in late. After the movie starts, you can't get in.
Thank you for having me on, Rabbit.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is At Your Service. This is Johnny Rabbit. That's the show. It's Johnny Rabbit filling in here at your service. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about the collection, so to speak, with A.J. Medlock, an archivist of note. We'll tell you about him in a few minutes. At noon, we'll have a residential real estate show. Is it hot or not? With real estate expert Rich Fellhauer. Topics to include interest rates, getting your house ready to sell, tips on buying a house or a condo, or moving into an apartment. What's the story with all those out-of-town investors buying up houses? What's going on with that? And all the companies that are offering to buy your home for a cash deal, as is. Well, that's for later on. But right now, A.J. Medlock is here to tell us about the important yet not so well-known, at least in St. Louis, statewide organization, the State Historical Society of Missouri, not to be confused with the Missouri Historical Society. Welcome, A.J. Nice to see you, sir.
Well, thank you, Ron. Nice to see you again, too.
And your location is where?
Yeah, so our headquarters is in Columbia, Missouri, the Center for Missouri Studies. But then we have research centers across the state. My research center is located on the University of Missouri St. Louis campus, UMSL. We're on the second floor of the Thomas Jefferson Library. So that's where I'm at.
The Mercantile Library is your neighbor?
Mercantile Library is our neighbor. Yes, sir.
That is an interesting place to see. They always have a nice little display right outside your offices. But you go inside. What's in there? What do you collect here? What do you do in these offices?
Yeah. So our mission is to the State Historical Society of Missouri's mission is to preserve the history and culture of the state of Missouri. We primarily do that through the collection of manuscripts. And we've divided up the state into different geographic regions. So each research center focuses on a specific area of the state. I focus on St. Louis City and County, St. Charles, Franklin, Warren, Pike, Lincoln, and Jefferson counties. So we're a pretty big collecting focus. So anything from like family papers, like correspondence, diaries.
Photographs?
Photographs, scrapbooks, anything like that. Appointment books, old home videos, you know, things that, you know, that.
In other words, don't throw that junk away.
Yeah, don't throw it away. Yeah,
Wait a minute.
I encountered one family. It's the collection's now called the Marisi Family Papers, and they luckily had saved everything from like 1856 to about the present. So that was one that we got really lucky with. So it's things like that, or you know, like local, or the records of like local longtime organizations or businesses. Like for those of your listeners who remember Larry Rice in the New Life Evangelistic Center.
Sure.
I connected with him in 2019, and then we preserved all his old meeting minutes and videotapes from his programs, lots of photographs. He also has a prison ministry, so a lot of those that correspondence too is about like right now it's about like 65 boxes worth of materials.
Uh-huh.
And since he was, you know, they founded the organization in 1972, I mean it's, you know,
and he's still around.
I talk with him once in a while. I was at his 50th anniversary celebration for New Life Evangelistic Center. And of course, we also collect the records of like a long time older businesses, like, you know, things like business ledgers, also meeting minutes, old newsletters. There's still a lot of 20th century material around before everything became digital.
Yes.
So we're still taking in a lot of paper-based materials as well.
Right. What about digital materials?
So usually if it's like something like electronic records, if you create something on Microsoft Word, or let's say you're an author and you all your productions are going to be on a computer if you're a more recent author.
Yeah, sure.
Then we have ways to preserve that type of materials. The only thing we stipulate though is like for, let's say, you're a writer who is primarily active in the 20th century, we wouldn't take like digital copies of like your old manuscripts. We would only take the original. The only time we take electronic records is if they're created, you know, originally on the computer.
I see.
So that's kind of like the distinction between electronic or in the textual materials we collect.
Interesting. So really, a lot of people do throw a lot of things away that shouldn't be thrown away. I don't know who these people are. This is some long ago. Who really cares and all that kind of. You do care.
I definitely care. I usually say to people I connect with, I say, before you throw away anything, just, you know, call an archivist like myself and we're happy to go out and check things out. And, you know, it's a case where, maybe it's not something that has archival value, but you never know. I'm always going around my region, meeting with people. I mean, I kind of joke it gets me out of the office of CLNC daylight, so I'm always happy to make a trip out just to see what someone has. Mm-hmm. Always be mindful when you're throwing things away. I had to once – my favorite story is I once had to go dumpster diving because someone thought that something that wasn't worthwhile it turned out it was. So mm-hmm. I like to joke that, you know, my car smelled like garbage, but I felt good, you know, knowing that I preserved some important history.
Sure.
So
I've given you some things from my collection.
Yes, you have. And we're very grateful for that, too.
And have a lot of things to come as well.
Hey, we're excited.
As my wife will be happy to hear. when are you going to get rid of this stuff?
I've had some spouses tell me that I'm their new best friend.
I can imagine.
I'm usually the guy that comes in to clear out the basement.
Yeah.
Then
you're here. You're not in a big, huge place. So where does it all go?
So our research center is small, but the collections that we manage just at the St. Louis Research Center, about 8,100 cubic feet of collections. I always keep a running count. A lot of that goes offsite to our offsite record center storage in Columbia, Missouri. We just don't have the room. We can only store a fraction of the materials on site. But we have a courier service through the University of Missouri. So if anyone wants to look at materials, I can have them couriered in fairly quickly as long as people just ask for an appointment. As a whole, the society manages about 47,000 cubic feet of collections.
Wow.
And that's between all six research centers. That's growing every day. We're always taking in new types of material. Always taking in new collections.
So. We're talking to A.J. Medlock, State Historical Society of Missouri. I see a little logo here. Our home, our history.
Yes, sir.
That's what you're saving. You're saving the past for the future.
Sir.
And the locations, and now you're here, you're in Columbia, elsewhere?
Yeah, so we are, all other research centers are in Kansas City, Springfield, Cape Girardeau, and Rolla, and they're all on university campuses.
Now, how do people reach you?
So you can call me at my office phone if you want. It's 314-516-5214. Once again, that number is 314-516-5214. You can also reach me by email. So my email is Medlock, that's M as in Mary, EDLOCK, @SHSM.org.
Medlock, @SHSMO, State Historical Society, Missouri. The phone number. I think the phone number is easy, but it's an easy. Because you're there. I mean, you will be responsive as you have been to me and to others that I have sent to you. That area code 314-516-5214. And think about the things you might have. And right now, some people might say, "Well, you know, maybe I will call." And
definitely,
you can always say, "Well, you know, we can't use that."
But the only thing I will say is we're out of the office this week. I'm technically on vacation this week, but I couldn't pass up a chance to talk with you. So I may not be too quick this week, but definitely next week when we get back on Tuesday.
And what about magazines? Do you do things like that? Like George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine was here. Now, would you collect those magazines or?
Usually with older publications, it'd be more like the production. Like, so if it's like an older magazine and they've saved like their office files, like like their correspondence or their the drafts of the stories, especially of older magazines that have been around since the 20th century, we'd save that. But in terms of just magazines, since that's just more mass produced, that's usually not something we collect. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's a case-by-case basis.
But now, let's say he had all his original stories.
Yeah, well, yes. And it depends. Yeah, if he was more active in the 21st century, a lot we take the we would definitely take the electronic records. If he was active in the earlier in the 20th century, we'd definitely take all his original story drafts, reader correspondence, things like that. Those are what we consider like one of a kind materials that you necessarily can't reproduce. Mm-hmm.
So. AJ Medlock is here. You'll be back in a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a short break. We are at your service. This is the show. This is Johnny Rabbit. This is KMOX. Hi, this is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service on the show today. On our day after Christmas, we will return the day after New Year's Day, which means next Monday, same time, same station, all of that stuff, 10 to 1. AJ Medlock is with us from the State Historical Society of Missouri. A collection initiative. You're after people. You're like a Sherlock Holmes, sniffing out all of these archives and corporate things and business things and even science fiction.
Yeah, I'm always on the hunt. So yeah, recently we started collecting into what's called fandom. So I
what does that mean, fandom?
Kind of like it's like a group that or like a subculture that's interested in a certain aspect of popular culture. Mm-hmm. So science fiction fandoms, what we've been. I've been focusing on. So I recently took in the records of the USS Discovery. They're a Star Trek fan club that was formed here in 1984. Hmm. So a lot of their old meeting minutes, their newsletters, their zines, which are like fan publications, and even some photographs. So it was a really interesting look into a unique subculture in St. Louis. And so I decided that maybe I should start contacting people who are involved in like early fandom. So, for example, I recently connected with a gentleman named Walt Stumper, and we took in his papers. So it includes like stuff from all these local science fiction zines. One of them was the Ozark Science Fiction Association, OSFAN, that was based out here. And they actually were instrumental in bringing the World Science Fiction Convention here in 1969. So he donated a lot of rare zines. Rare St. Louis area zines that are hard to find, and then some rare zines from across the state and the country. So it's a really rich collection. We also there's one collection of the Amy Newell Versman papers. She had a scrapbook from the first Archon, which is the oldest science fiction convention in St. Louis from 1977. She has pictures of a very young George R.R. Martin. Who wrote Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. and he was there as their first guest in 1977. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of cool local.
That is.
Yeah, a lot of cool. And I'm trying to gather more from the area. So because the idea is we're truly trying to be a community archive. So we're trying to represent the full diversity of Missouri. And so it's not just like the great men and women like big time. It's a lot of normal, local, ordinary people.
Sure.
So another example, I took in the records of a martial arts dojang in the St. Louis area called Kuksulwan Martial Arts. So I talked with the owner, and he had all his photographs, all his like belt test evaluations from the 1991 to the present. Luckily, he's one of those that saves everything.
That's good.
Master Jack Harvey was very gracious to donate all those originals. So because martial arts is another really important, subculture in Missouri and the United States, but you don't really see it represented in archives. So I decided to take that in too. In addition, we're always trying to, get more family papers, like I mentioned the Morrissey family papers briefly. So a lot of, just a full representation of what's in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, and we've also off the air, we were talking about commercials. About recorded commercials, advertisements that would have maybe been on television or in radio, companies that are no longer even in existence. Chapman's Ice Cream, one that just came to mind. They had some great series of commercials.
Yeah. So those would be considered rare, too. I mean, a lot of those stations didn't preserve any of that. So those are great, too. Well, like local family companies that maybe are still in business or went out of business. Like I said, all their old advertisements, their old, whether it's, print or... They publish themselves, or mm-hmm. obviously local TV commercials, any correspondence they saved, old financial ledger books, of course, photographs. I mean, that's another important thing. So those are all things that we'd In addition to like old commercial spots, because those aren't something usually people think to say. But
no, you wouldn't think too, because they run out. This is dated. It's over with. They throw them out. There are not many advertising agencies anymore like there used to be, these big agencies. And some of these commercials were done at places like Premier Recruiting Studios and Locust or Technisonic and Brentwood, many times with original scores, music scores, singers, orchestras. None of that's done anymore. So those things have become more and more rare. Very, very few people have them, as you said. Here at KMOX, we have a big collection of things. I don't even seem like they can find anything from any year, but they're stored here. They're kept here. Channel 5 is the same type of collection of artifacts. But when companies move or change or something or physically move, that's another thing. Somebody might have a large place, and they might have got all this stuff in storage, and what are we going to do with it?
I'm your guy.
We have got him. He is here. He is here to help you. Don't worry about it. What is that commercial that people are always throwing stuff away? I don't know. That come and pick it up.
Oh, wait, Wayne Herder junk.
Yeah. It's not that. That's something good is going to happen. That's going to have a new life. It's going to have a new home. And it's going to be something that, let's say someone would like to do some sort of a retrospective, a story, an article, a book, or whatever, about the history of advertising in St. Louis, where you had these commercials, where you could maybe put it and use it right on podcasts. Do you have a podcast?
Yeah, we have a podcast. We promote our collections as well. So it's our Missouri podcast. So basically, yeah, we're open Tuesdays through Fridays at all our research centers, barring the holidays, of course. 8:30 to 4:30. They're always open to in-person researchers. We also do a lot of promotion. We had the Missouri Historical Review and the Missouri Times are always like talking about the collections we've gotten in.
Now, how do you get those publications?
If you become a member, those are for our members. So if you go to shsmo.org, there's a support tab. And then if you become a member, a dues paying member, those come complimentary to you. Of course, I always have, one or two copies around at the research center. But we encourage people to become supporting members because, although the state of Missouri funds our salaries and such, we do for everything else, we rely on our membership program, too.
Now, if somebody wants to, you're probably better to call first, I would imagine. You don't have a huge staff of people.
Well, we have a huge staff across all six research centers. But it's usually helpful at the St. Louis Research Center, especially if something's offsite. If you give us a call or shoot us an email, and then if it's something that's offsite, we can have that couriered in to the research center. So we usually ask maybe like a week or maybe even 2 weeks in advance so we can get the materials on site, especially if you want something from like Kansas City or Springfield or Cape Girardeau or Rolla to give us a little extra leeway to bring those materials in.
What do you think the new year is going to bring to you as far as do you feel more people are going to be donating these things, giving these things? You're not buying them.
No, we don't buy anything. We don't have funds for that. Most archives, as far as I know, don't make actual purchases like that. But I think we've been doing a good job of getting the word out. I have a lot of people I've been talking to lately from all walks of life. So I think coming in, we did really well this year, and I think we're going to do even better in 2023. Good. So we're always pounding the pavement, always trying to get the word out. And as I mentioned before, I'll say my phone number again, but if you think you may have something or some things, you can always give me a call at 314-516-5214. Or shoot me an email at medlocka@shsmo.org. I always try to be as responsive as possible.
And you are.
Barring the holiday season. But other than that, we're always willing to do a site visit to see what you have. So don't hesitate to reach out. Although it may seem to you like it's unimportant, it may actually be very important for current and future researchers.
And that is very true about people moving or changing the business is closing or you're moving to or your home.
You
might be surprised sometimes in what you have. And, of course, you'll be, you might have to tell people, well, we just don't really collect that. Or maybe someone else would.
Other
organization.
We're always happy if we're unable to collect. Like, we don't collect three-dimensional objects, but I'm always happy to help people find other institutions where it's a better fit. So I'm always here to consult as well.
That's interesting to know, of course.
So, yeah, we're always – you're not bothering us. We're always happy to – we get lonely sometimes down at the research center, so I'm always happy when I have a visitor.
That's
always
–
yeah, it's – I'm happiest when the phone's ringing and the research center is filled with researchers or prospective donors.
That is terrific. Thank you, AJ.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your being here today on this very quiet day in St. Louis. At least maybe the shopping centers are a little busier than they are downtown. Boy, downtown would have been busy a number of years ago, but that's all over with. Next, we're going to go into the real estate market with Rich Fellhauer here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.